The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, Vaal's original minister assures victims of microfinance scam of police intervention. EC asks registrants with NHIS cards who had their names deleted from voters' roll to cross-check from Daily Graphic as it releases names of those deleted. This is now in detail. Vaal's regional minister Helen Dosso has assured victims of a microfinance scam in the Vaal region that the police will be alerted to arrest and deal with perpetrators of the scam. Yesterday, some residents of the region who invested into some supposed microfinance schemes took to the streets of Ho to demand refund of their monies from the entities which are said to have gone into hibernation for more than a year. They are also calling on government to assist them recover their investment since the entities were duly registered. The schemes, which gained prominence between 2014 and 2015 and operated by groups such as Little Drops Investment Club, Prosperity and Good Health Club, Clear Image Investment, Royal Care and Judec Network, among others, promised clients huge returns on their investments. For instance, persons who invested at least 380 and 450 cedis with Little Drop and Prosperity Clubs were promised returns of 6,000 and 5,000 in an average of 5 months. Though some early investors recouped their promised returns, several hundreds of them still have their investments locked up with the groups. This comes a few months after a major microfinance scam hit the country in the Bonafu region. The Vaal region.
What we can do to monitor is actually to sensitize our people. First of all, we've got to sensitize our people because a lot of these young guys who come around, you know, there's this adage that there's no shortcut in success. But they want the shortcut in getting rich. And our people should be wary of such people because if you pay 480 Ghana cedis, and you are promised that in 3 months and you are 45,000 Ghana. This is not visible. With computer, people can do a lot of things, more than is the coat of arms that you're talking about. We've got to sensitize our people that we have to be very careful when people come around telling them to pay, you know, money for them to double or triple for them in 3 months or 4 months. And that's the only thing we can do.
Meanwhile, one of the victims of the microfinance scam in the Vaal region, Eric Asari, shared his story with Radio Ghana. According to him, he invested 450 cedis along with 10 others into the scheme.
I invested 450 Ghana cedis.
Was it this year?
It was last year. I invested, because of the investment, and then the whole money that I invested into this company was 10,000 and over. So I invested some at Little Drop, some at Prosperity, Good and Health, Develop Winners and Co.
What, so how many companies in all?
They are all 10.
In order to publish. And that is what we are going to do. Even publish the list on our website. You can go there and you have access to the list.
There is a request that if any party or stakeholder have other names besides the 56,000, they should furnish the commission with it. Have you received further names of such registrants?
Apart from the list that we sent to the Supreme Court, nobody has brought any list to the Electoral Commission.
Well, but you still posit that if anyone has such names, they should furnish the EC with that.
We submitted a list and people have disputed the list. We are not being dismissive. We are asking them, if you know somebody you claim who registered with the NHIS card and is not on our list, that person should come forward. You know, the list is very bulky. The Daily Graphic is starting tomorrow to serialize them. I think that the first part would be a part from Central Region tomorrow. So, and we've also published a full list on our website.
Apart from the Daily Graphic, when we go to the Central Region, what should we expect from the EC's offices?
We expect you to find a list at our various offices in the Central Region.
Do we have vans as in announcing the names of these persons in the Central Region for those who cannot read or write?
We are supposed to start that publicity, you know, only in the Central Region, but across the country and in our various districts, so that it will sensitize those who cannot read and write. And also, exhibition is going to start on Monday. We are currently printing the a list of all those who registered with the NHIS as an album with their pictures so we could send them to the various exhibition centers. You know, the exhibition centers is going to be in all the polling stations across the country, so it will be closer to the people.
So if I find my name on the list, say tomorrow, what preparations should I make for re-registering?
What you have to do is to get the required document, which is either a passport, a driver's license, or a national identification card. If you don't have any of the above mentioned ID, then you need two persons to guarantee for your registration. Those two persons could be people who've already gone to the registration, not those who registered in 2016, because their registration is still provisional, but those who registered in 2012 and 2014.
That was Deputy Director of Communications of the EC, Sif Ayuba.
And still on the EC, the Commission says it has procured 72,000 biometric devices to ensure the smooth delivery of the 2016 election. This means that each of the 29,000 polling stations would have at least a backup biometric device to cater for breakdowns of the biometric kits. The chairperson of the EC, Ms. Charlotte Ose, who disclosed this at a media and stakeholders workshop in Accra, said the decision to procure more biometric devices was to promptly deal with breakdowns of the biometric machines during the general elections.
Now, former President John Ejikum Kufo yesterday officially introduced the NPP's 2016 presidential candidate, Nanadu Dankwa Akufo-Addo, to the Asantehene Otumfuo Osei-Tu and the Asanteman Traditional Council at the Mesha Palace in Kumasi as part of the campaign tour of the Ashanti region by the flag bearer. Mr. Kufo appealed to the chiefs to offer the same support they gave him during his tenure as president of Ghana to Nanadu Akufo-Addo. Also at the Mesha Palace with Nanadu was the National Vice Chairman of the NPP, Frederick Figure Anto, some MPs and former ministers of state, including Samson Kwikubwafo, former Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs. The Asantehene Otumfuo Osei-Tu asked the NPP flag bearer to commit himself to the peace of the country before, during, and after the elections. He said even though chiefs are barred from active partisan politics, they always associate themselves with the socio-economic concerns of their subjects. For his part, Nanadu Akufo-Addo promised to complete all projects started by the Akufo administration. These include the Bwankwa Island Import, the Sofo Line Interchange, among others. Nanadu promised to give attention to restoring the Ashanti region to be economically vibrant. One of the strategies is to revive the cocoa and agricultural sector.
Flag bearer of the GCPP, Dr. Henry Laffey, has urged politicians seeking to be elected president to desist from condemning projects being undertaken by the ruling NDC. They should rather support and encourage President Mahama to succeed so that a solid foundation will be laid for whoever will assume the presidency in the future. In an interview with George Asikri in Accra, Dr. Laffey said the GCPP supports the infrastructural projects and other policies of the NDC that are geared towards consolidating Made in Ghana goods.
I want Ghana to do good. So if there's something good about Ghana and Mahama is doing it, I'll support him. I don't want to knock Mahama so that he goes down and Ghana goes down. When I knock him and Ghana has gone down, we have all gone down. So when he comes out with Commander Factory, and now that he's trying to repair the such a factory that the MPP could not do, why shouldn't I support him? Because when he does well, and I take over, we'll move it even better. Ghana will get into a better situation. I don't want Ghana in a mess. So when Mahama does well, I should support him so that Ghanaians will benefit from any good thing that he's doing. So when I come, I also make it better, better than what Mahama has done. That's why I support him. I don't support for the sake of supporting.
Flag bearer of the GCPP, Dr. Henry Laffey. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Volta regional minister assures victims of microfinance scam of police intervention. EC asks registrants with NHIS cards who have their names deleted from voters' roll to cross-check from Daily Graphic as it releases names of those deleted. Police commander allegedly assaulted by John Painsel refuses out-of-court settlement. And trucks runs into crowd in France, killing at least 80 people. Parliament has taken the Petroleum Exploration and Production Bill 2016 through the second reading. The bill, when passed into law, will repeal the Petroleum Exploration and Production Bill Act 1984, PNDC Law 84. The bill provides for and ensures safe, secure, sustainable and efficient petroleum activities and guarantees optimal long-term petroleum resources exploitation and utilization for the benefits of the people of Ghana. The chairman of the Mines and Energy Committee, Alhaji Amadou Sorogo, told the plenary that the passage of the bill will boost the development of local content in the petroleum industry. Here's a report by our parliamentary correspondents, Dominic Longi and Augustus Akwe.
The bill contains 97 clauses and has been arranged in line with the various stages of petroleum activity. Unlike the current dispensation where petroleum rights are granted exploration and production companies through direct negotiations, the new bill provides for a competitive tendering process in the award of petroleum blocks. According to the chairman of the committee, the passage of the bill will significantly assist the country in maximizing benefits from its petroleum resources. Alhaji Amadou Sorogo chairs the Mines and Energy Committee.
The committee noted that the passage of the bill will significantly assist the country in maximizing benefits from its petroleum resources. This is because, Mr. Speaker, the bill introduces new fiscal elements in addition to those specified under Section 19 and 20 of the PNDC Law 34. Mr. Speaker, the bill predicts to increase the minimum carried interest of the state in every petroleum activity from the present 1% to 15%.
Clauses 85 and 89 provide for new fiscal regime, which includes bonus payments. The ranking member on the Mines and Energy Committee is Katie Hammond.
Let's put it on record. There's so much talk about this particular bill that it seems to be the most excellent piece of legislation on earth. There's so much talk in the public about the procedure preceding the introduction of this bill in Parliament. Yes, this bill has a few new developments here and there, opens up a few things. Let there be no doubt that at the time that the MPP administration, at the time that PNDC one was going through the process of trying to see if there was some hydrocarbons in our territories, which was inherited by the Kufuor administration, and in the end, the speaker led to the discovery of oil in Ghana. Because look at the system was not that bad.
The ranking member of Mines and Energy Committee of Parliament, K.T. Hammond, ending that report by our parliamentary correspondents Dominic Longi and Augustus Akwe. Meanwhile, the House has approved the request for waiver of custom duties, value-added tax, national health insurance levy, destination inspection fees, export development investment fund, ECOWAS levy, and other related taxes amounting to $152 million on goods and equipment imported or purchased locally for the Western Corridor Gas Infrastructure Development Project presented to the House by Finance Minister Seth Pepe.
fire yesterday gutted the boys' dormitory of the Northern School of Business in Tamale. The fire, which started in the morning, burnt all the students' belongings beyond recognition. Items destroyed included students' mattresses, stationery, chop boxes, beds, and unspecified amount of money. Our correspondent Mohammed Fugu reports that three students who inhaled smoke and went unconscious have been rushed to the hospital. The cause of the fire is not known, but eyewitnesses suspect it could be as a result of an electric fault. The assistant headmaster of the school, Douglas Yakubu, who spoke to Radio Ghana, describes the incident as a big blow to the school. He said the school authorities are making arrangements to accommodate the students to enable them to write their end-of-term examination. He said students who were traumatized following the incident will also be rehabilitated.
The dormitory is destroyed. However, there's a story building that is just close to the house where the third years who left, you know, there are vacancies in those dormitories. So we want to redistribute them to the other houses so that we shall continue with academic work. Their mattresses have been bent and we have assured them we shall give them mattresses. The school has mattresses. As for the books, that will be the next thing we shall tackle. But we shall make sure the academic work continues. They've been traumatized. You know, kids as they are, they should be. It's normal that when you lose your property, you should be traumatized. We need to counsel them. Those that would require perhaps further counseling, we shall invite some specialists to go and talk to them. But we realize that some of them inhaled smoke, and so they have been carried to hospital for examination. They are just about three or so, but they are in stable condition. Because they don't know how to fight fire, they were alarmed, so they just rushed into it and started picking their things. In the process, they inhaled a lot of smoke, and that has caused the problem. But those traumatized, you can see some of them are just worried about the whole thing. They are not very sure what is going to happen next, but as I told you, we intend to rehabilitate some of them in a way. For instance, when we give them mattresses, at least they can continue. Some have their money bent, in fact, partially, not wholly.
It took the intervention of personnel of the Ghana National Fire Service to control the fire from spreading to nearby buildings. The Northern Regional Public Relations Officer of the Service, Nicholas Puku Akins, said investigation is underway to ascertain the actual cause of the fire. He advised the public not to engage in illegal connections and also put off the appliances when not in use to avoid such disasters.
The fuse one has got broken, two bent, but one is bent but did not get broken. If you look at it, you see that the wire on the fuse is very thick because there are many on it. And what normally happens is if somebody is using a wrong gadget and it starts or it triggers to go to the fuse should break. But if the fuse does not break, then we have something called flowback. So flowback will come to the weakest point, and the weakest point is the place that the fire was started. So I could see that the fire started from the middle room, because they are having three rooms. The middle room started a fire. One fuse got broken and the other fuse is still intact. But this one, we can't just say it's an illegal connection. It could happen that somebody was using a faulty gadget. That any time that thing triggers, the fuse should cut. But the fact that the fuse did not cut, meaning what? We should experience or we should expect flowback, and flowback normally causes fire at the weakest point.
Affected students appeal to the Ghana Education Service to come to their aid by providing them with relief items.
Last year's fire and flood disasters that hit Ghana and the subsequent floods that characterized this year's rains have influenced a high-level meeting on the subject in Accra. Ghana is being used as a case study to adopt a blueprint that will serve as a guide for African countries to manage disasters. The two-day meeting, which is under the auspices of the UN, is expected to discuss causes of disasters and why preventive strategies have not achieved any results. UN Country Coordinator Christine Evans-Clark said Ghana continues to go around its disaster resilient policy without proper implementation, a situation, the coordinator said, became evident in the June 3 fire and flood disaster. Irabna Paha reports.
Disasters and its devastating impact continues to attract global attention towards resilience and reduction in recognition of cities as a lifeline of today's societies. The United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction launched a campaign that seeks to support sustainable urban development by promoting resilience activities and increasing local level understanding of disaster risk. Ghana was chosen as a case study because of last year's June 3rd twin disasters. The meeting brought experts on the field to discuss ways to reduce disasters and mitigate its effect on people, especially the vulnerable. UN Country Coordinator Christine Evans-Glock said Ghana's quest to have a safer and disaster-free cities will be a mirage if policies towards that direction continue to gather ducks on the shelf.
Reduction in deaths and economic losses caused by disasters, especially flooding, and especially on protecting the poor and people in vulnerable situations, and as a necessary condition for that ambitious list.
National Coordinator of NADMU, Brigadier General Francis Zibzanziri, said the organization considers disaster management a challenge since disasters have become more difficult to manage due to increase in slums in urban cities.
Irabna Paha reporting.
The Military Academy and Training School yesterday organized a pull-out ceremony in honor of the outgoing commandant, Rear Admiral Emmanuel Akutu-Bonsu, at the academy grounds in Accra. In a thorough message, Admiral Bonsu expressed gratitude to the Military High Command and the officers for supporting him during his tenure as commandant of the training school. Salifu Dabri and Jessica Sidi filed this report.
Rear Admiral Emmanuel Akutu-Bonsu took office as the commandant of the Military Academy Training School on the 29th of May 2013. He said though his work as a commandant was challenging, it has been largely successful. During his term of office, Rear Admiral Bonsu constructed a new academy hall and a 16-unit officers' married quarters. He also initiated a smart campus e-learning program in the institution and improved the water and sanitation situation at the academy. Rear Admiral Akutu-Bonsu expressed his gratitude to officers who supported him during his tenure.
Since November 1976, when I reported for training at the Ghana Military Academy as a cadet, little did I know that after 40 years of military service, I would retire in the capacity of the commandant of the Military Academy and Training School. I thank God Almighty for having ordered my steps and brought me this far. I also thank His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, the President of the Republic of Ghana and Commander Chief of the Ghana Armed Forces, for having given me the opportunity to serve the Ghana Armed Forces and Mother Ghana this high. I'm grateful to the Minister for Defense, the Ghana Armed Forces High Command, for their support to my office and command during my tour of duty.
Rear Admiral Bonsu urged the officers to continue to unite for the growth of the academy.
Stanley Fudabri and Jessica Siedu's report.
The East Legon District Police Commander, DSP Emmanuel Basintele, who was allegedly assaulted by footballer John Pinsel, has refused an out-of-court settlement suggested by the court hearing the case. The trial judge, Patricia Kwanza, suggested that considering the busy schedule of both parties, they should use alternative dispute resolution, ADR, to reach an amicable settlement. But DSP Basintele said he is not amenable to settlement. Following that, the case was delayed for some hours and proceeded to be heard in camera. Counsel for John Pinsel, Victor Adaudu, declined to give any information to the media, but said the case has been adjourned to October for further hearing. The former Black Stars defender was arrested after he physically assaulted the district commander during interrogation over allegations that he stole his wife's car. It is alleged that during the questioning, the former defender became angry and punched the commander in the eye and also pushed another officer.
And a lorry struck a crowd after Bastille Day celebrations in the southern French city of Nice, killing at least 80 people, including children, and injuring dozens. The driver was shot dead and guns and grenades were found inside the lorry. President François Hollande said the attack was of a terrorist nature. He extended a state of emergency across France for 3 months. France had been on high alert following last November's attacks in Paris, in which 130 people died and hundreds were wounded. So then is the main point again. The Volta Regional Minister has assured victims of the microfinance scam in the region of police intervention. The Electoral Commission has asked registrants with NHIS cards whose names had been deleted from the voters' register to cross-check from the daily graphic. And the police commander who was allegedly assaulted by John Pinsel has refused out-of-court settlement. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofo.
And Lily, therefore, in Accra.